Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll talk about creating a meeting structure that leaders look forward to. Andy, from time to time, we get the opportunity to peek behind the scenes of other organizations, and quite often, I'm surprised by the meeting structure, especially of the top leadership.
I think you mean that most of them avoid meeting if they can.
Exactly.
No. Yeah.
Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think, and that's one of the reasons I'm excited about this podcast. I think part of it is leaders love progress. Meetings don't often feel like progress, and there's a way to fix that. I think oftentimes leaders end up surrounding themselves with people they don't really enjoy meeting with, and so it's not enjoyable. The truth is we all look forward to things that benefit us. So if a meeting doesn't benefit the leader, they don't look forward to the meeting. If the meeting doesn't consistently benefit the people in the meeting, they don't look forward to the meeting. All of that can be addressed. All of that can be fixed. And I think for many of our leaders, they inherit a meeting structure, a meeting system, who has to be there, whether it's direct reports or officers or department division heads. And so they inherit a meeting structure. They do their best to make it interesting and get out on time, when in fact, leaders, just as they lead and create culture in every other area of the organization, leaders are actually responsible for the culture of their meetings, which means at some point we have to stop and ask, hey, if this isn't working, why am I continuing to work it? Because leaders generally have low tolerance for things that don't work. But in the area of meetings, for some reason, we put that over in a separate category and say, well, it's just a necessary evil. Mm. And today, we want to communicate that it is not, and it can be addressed and actually should be addressed.
Andy, what's interesting to me is that I would say our organization is fairly meeting heavy. I mean, we meet a lot, but I've never really experienced this dynamic here.
I think part of it is we created our own organization, so we didn't inherit a system. We certainly inherited some habits, some meeting habits that we had to break early on. But I think because we created our own culture, that has one thing to do with it. The other thing is I think we've all been very intentional about when we meet, why we meet, and who's there. Mm. And we're going to get to the who's in the meeting in just a few minutes. But that has so much to do with it because, again, leaders love progress. And if a meeting is a means to an actual end and we feel like, hey, we're making progress, then generally that's an enjoyable meeting. We are meeting heavy, but I think part of that is the industry we're in. We are in an event organization. Every Sunday there are multiple events. Every week there are multiple events. And part of a meeting structure has to do with evaluation. We've talked a lot about that here. And you need to have evaluation that coincides with how often something occurs. So if we're in the weekly event business, we have to have weekly meetings, both in terms of planning and evaluating. I think another thing that makes a difference in our meetings, Lane, is from the very beginning, we have tried to be a learning organization. Mm-hmm. By learning organization, I mean whenever we get together as a team or whenever our teams get together, we try to blend into that time something we're learning together, something we've read. We're constantly reading books and articles and bringing in blogs. And again, this isn't like 2-hour discussion. Sometimes it's 15 minutes, it's 20 minutes, it's 30 minutes. But again, we look forward to things that benefit us. Whenever you learn something new and practical, it benefits you. So the fact that we have introduced learning into our leadership team meetings and our management team meetings, that brings an element of discussion and shared learning that I think makes the meeting, it benefits the entire meeting, even when we get to the details and the things we've just got to cover on the agenda. So I think there's some things early on that became part of our culture that have impacted the nature of our meetings because nobody looks forward consistently to just meeting and, you know, somebody sitting at the end of the table and going through an agenda and yes, no, and give your report. Those are necessary organizational evils. But if that comprises the lion's share and sets the tone for a meeting, those just aren't meetings most people are going to look forward to.
Well, Andy, just for context, real quick, why don't you tell us your meeting schedule?
Well, again, like everybody listening in our audience, my meeting schedule is very industry specific. Again, we run a bunch of churches. So I have a management team and a leadership team. My management team is my 3 direct reports. But the most important meeting I have every week is our leadership team meeting, which is about 12 people. And in the leadership team are my 3 direct reports and several of their direct reports. Now, this is so important for leaders. It's so important to have the right people in the room. Mm-hmm. So this meeting for me, it's a Tuesday morning meeting. We meet for a couple of hours. I set the agenda. The people in that meeting know that this is for me. This is my meeting. This is where I get a snapshot of everything that's happening in the organization. So I set the agenda. And consequently, it's very fluid. There's a learning component to it, and there's a discussion component to it. But this is my meeting, and the reason I emphasize that is if you're listening today, and you're in charge of any sort of meeting because you oversee a division, department, a branch, a franchise, whatever it might be, you need to give yourself permission to create that leadership team meeting that serves your purposes, which ultimately will serve the purpose of the organization, but ultimately it needs to serve your purposes. If it's not beneficial to you, that's your fault. If you don't look forward to it, it's your fault because it's your meeting. So give yourself the freedom to wipe the slate clean and ask the question, what would be the most beneficial type of meeting? Who would it benefit me to have there, regardless of where they show up in the organization? So the people in my leadership team meeting are not there because of necessarily their position in the organization. They're there because of who they are personally, as well as the breadth of responsibility that they carry. So that's really, really important. So that's a two-hour meeting where we learn together. I set an agenda. I get a snapshot of what happened during the previous week. Then when there are issues that impact the entire organization, that's where we discuss those. And again, I set the agenda. And sometimes it's one item. Sometimes it's two or three items, and you're in that meeting. So, feel free to keep me honest in this. But again, it's my meeting. And what I've said to our division directors, department directors, campus directors is you need to have this kind of meeting. Right. There's somewhere in your organization, you need to be able to gather the people in the room that are most critical to what you're doing, get the information that you need. And if there's a way to build a learning component into that, all the better, because it just keeps people discussing things. Then in addition to that, I have a service programming division meeting where I meet with all the people that help create the content for our services on the weekend. And then I meet with my management team. And I actually cram all those meetings into Tuesday. Tuesday's just wall-to-wall meetings. But I like it that way because all of these are meetings about the future. Anything that's about the future and planning, making things better, I'm for it. Anything about problem solving in the past, that feels like an anchor to me. Mm-hmm. But, that's a necessary part of it. But generally, those aren't weekly meetings.
Andy, I've heard you say from time to time that the org chart is not your friend. Would this apply when we come to the topic of meetings?
Absolutely. And that's a great point, Lane, because, again, my leadership team, only three of the people in there report directly to me. But the people in that team are there because of what they do in the organization and because I want access to them. In a healthy organization, a leader should have the latitude to pull people into a meeting, either a one-time meeting, a weekly meeting, a meeting that happens during the construction of a building or a specific project, to where he or she has access to the people in the organization they need access to. So again, you know, the org chart's important, but the org chart should not drive meeting structure. Meeting structure should be driven by the task, the personalities, the education. Again, the leader should have the latitude to choose who they want to meet with, when they meet with them, and what happens in that meeting. And if you can get past the org chart, you're just going to have better meetings. And if that's part of the culture, people get used to that. They get accustomed to that. They realize, hey, I might be asked to attend this meeting for the next 6 months, but I'm not a permanent part of that team. That's right. Okay. That, to make it fluid like that, you're just going to have a better dynamic and you're going to make, I think, better decisions.
Andy, I think it would be helpful to explain then why you meet with your management team when they're already in the leadership team meeting.
The management team is comprised of me and three other people. And you're right, all four of us are in that leadership team meeting. So when we get together, essentially, we're trying to figure out how to best implement the decisions that were made in the leadership team. The leadership team really is the they of our organization. The management team, again, we're simply managing those decisions. One of the things that I tell leaders all the time is it's great to have a number two person. It's even better to have five number two people or 10 number two people. To find that man or woman who can just carry an enormous amount of responsibility. They don't feel the need to be number one, but they want to influence their own destiny. Mm. And most of us in leadership, especially when you get past 40, I don't have to be number one, but I want to be in the meeting that determines my destiny in this organization. And so the leadership team allows me to have a large group of extraordinary people, any one of which could be number two, I think, in this organization. The management team allows me to make sure that we're clearing the path for them to be successful. So that's a little bit of the difference.
And both of those meetings really have something in common.
Yeah, it's what I just said. It's really all about the future and progress. And again, I set the agenda. I set the amount of time. I determine who's going to be in there. And while that may sound selfish, I just think it's important for leaders and managers to understand they need to set the tone. They need to decide or create a system where they get to choose who is there. And I tell men and women all the time, if you're setting this up from scratch, just ask people to attend or be a part of that team for 1 year. You don't have to commit to them for the rest of their career. You don't have to commit to them because of where they are in the organization. There are people in your organization that are so sharp, you want them in on every meeting, regardless right. of the breadth of responsibility they carry. There are other people that after they sit in a meeting with you for a year, you realize, you know what? This isn't helping me. It may help them, but it's not helping me, but it's my meeting. So again, just creating the flexibility you need to get things done. You'll look forward to it. They will look forward to it. And it won't just be that meeting that, you know, I have to attend, or hopefully it won't be.
Andy, what is it about meetings that feel that way, almost like it's an obligation?
Well, I think anytime that communication is linear, you know, there's one person just blah, 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 you know. Right. If there's only a single point of accountability, you know, one of the things that healthy organizations, healthy cultures, there are multiple points of accountability. You know, on a real team, there is actual, not simply perceived interdependency. Mm. This is most obvious in sports. You know, the pitcher can't win a game without a center fielder, even though the center fielder just stands there most of the time. But the pitcher understands the actual interdependence. Well, on a real organizational team, the same thing is true. So when people understand the actual interdependence of the people in the room, there's not a single point of accountability. There are multiple points of accountability, which creates an extraordinary dynamic in a meeting. But if you don't have that, it seems flat. If the meeting's just about disseminating information, gosh, just send me an email. you're going to hand it out, then read it to me. You're right. Killing me. You know, don't read things to me. In a flat meeting, people sit and listen and time stands still. But when you create the right dynamic, communication is circular. Mm. Everybody feels like they can, you know, pitch in, interrupt. You know, there are multiple points of accountability, like I just talked about. We're actually solving problems or interfacing with actual dynamics. People debate and time flies. Mm. I mean, we've all been in that meeting where we look down and it's lunchtime and it's like, wow, what happened? Well, there's just a dynamic and a culture. And I just think leaders are responsible for creating that. And if you don't know how to create that, you know, the people that are sitting through, not participating in, sitting through those meetings, they have some suggestions.
Yeah. I've actually heard you compare those kind of meetings to a cattle drive.
Yeah, and a good meeting is like a cattle drive. Yeah. You've got people that have ideas and want to move in a bunch of different directions, and the leader idea is just to herd the ideas and build consensus and listen. And it's very dynamic, very dynamic.
Andy, you mentioned a minute ago about the idea of debate, and I know what Patrick Lencioni calls unfiltered debate. I know it's a key element for you. Why?
This goes back to being a learning organization. And I, as a leader, I can't learn as long as I'm talking. I'm only going to learn if I'm listening. Mm. And so somehow in especially our strategic meetings, our leadership team meetings, the high-level meetings, there has to be freedom to debate ideas. And I feel like my responsibility as the leader is to kind of goad that debate and get it going so I can sit and listen. And I'm often, you know, taking notes in the meetings I'm leading because I want the best ideas on the table. We all want to make the best decisions. I lack the confidence to think I can sit in my office and come up with solutions to all of our problems and show up at a meeting and tell you guys what to do. So I'm not even tempted to do that. This isn't an exercise in humility. For me, it's an exercise in survival because I want to make good decisions, and we all do, right. Which means we have to have all the information on the table, which means you have to get the right people in the room, and then you have to goad it out of them. You have to create enough debate and enough conversation to where those ideas are actually out on the table. So I love that phrase that Patrick Lencioni uses, unfiltered debate. But unfiltered debate does not come natural for certain personalities. And again, it comes back to how I'm going to lead the meeting that determines whether or not that actually happens.
So Andy, this is in a lot of ways like directing traffic or leading an excavation process.
Yeah, no, those are two good word pictures, because here's the thing, smart organizations tap into the smarts of the entire organization. I mean, that's huge. I mean, every organizational leader, there's no win in not knowing what people are thinking or what they know that would help you make a better decision. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. You get the right people in the room, especially you know, opinionated people, the leader isn't so much leading the meeting, as you said, as excavating. Let's make sure we get it all out and managing traffic. No, you've said enough. You know, Jim, we haven't heard from you. You know, why isn't Barbara, I see you sitting over there taking notes. What are you thinking? Let's get it all moving through the intersection so we can, you know, gather all of this. And again, we're not going to make great decisions till we have all the right information. And there are going to be conflicting opinions. And part of my, you know, job as a leader is to get them all out on the table, try to keep it from getting personal, but allow enough unfiltered debate to happen so that, again, you know, I can learn.
Andy, you talk about drawing people into the conversation. Why is it so important that everyone be heard?
Well, everybody listening to this podcast, me included, we can probably think back to meetings where a decision was made we didn't agree with. And it was difficult for us to fully engage, because we, number one, we didn't think it was the right decision. But most leaders can move past that. What's really difficult is to ask me to engage with something that I don't agree with when I never feel like my opinion was heard. Most mature people, if they feel like, okay, I've been heard, they factored it in, they just didn't agree.
Right.
Mature people can move past that. The idea of a decision was made, my opinion wasn't even factored in, that's difficult. Now, a mature leader can move past that as well. But if I've got everybody in the room and I've got the right people in the room, there's no reason for everyone not to have been heard. But there are some people, you know, you finally have to say, we have heard you, thank you. There are other people we still haven't heard from.
Right.
I want to hear from them. So, you know, you have to bring them into the conversation. People will not concede generally, especially leaders, until they've been heard. And so again, this is just about creating a structure where people are heard.
Are there any, I guess, specific tips for managing the interaction of the team?
Well, a few things come to mind, Lane. One, and this I've sort of said this, is you just don't interrupt a debate. When there are two staff members, two or three, that are kind of going at each other, as long as it's not personal, you know, and that it can't be personal. But emotion, you know, a heated debate over a topic is important. So don't interrupt that. Now, my personality is I'm comfortable with conflict, maybe too comfortable. You know, some of our listeners, they are so uncomfortable with conflict, they get nervous. Now, if you're a natural peacemaker, you've really got to gear down in your meetings because you can make peace and not learn something important. You can make peace and miss the insight. You may be three sentences away from the observation that's a game changer for your organization. But if you're so uncomfortable with the conflict that you intervene too early, you know, you miss that. So don't interrupt healthy debate. Listen. And don't attempt to resolve all the tension, because it will not be resolved. You know, my words do not resolve tension between two people between whom there is tension. Tension's where the great ideas come from. So allow the tension to sit there. You know, we've had meetings like most leaders have where, you know, that you run out of time, the tension's still there, and you say, hey, let's just think about this. If you have some ideas afterwards, email me and we're going to pick it up here. You know, we've bumped into something that maybe should be resolved. Maybe it shouldn't be resolved. Maybe this is one of those tensions that we manage. So don't rush to resolve all the tension. And then don't allow team members to interrupt each other. And, you know, everybody listening, including the two of us, we know the people on our team that they just can't wait to talk. And I can sense it. And I don't think this is good leadership, but there have been times I've just held up my hand. I can feel it's like, don't. Or I will say, wait, you know, Julie wasn't finished. And wait. Okay, I don't feel like, because there are quick communicators, there are processors. So part of my responsibility is to factor in the personalities of the people at the table and make sure I'm convinced that they have said everything they planned to say and they weren't cut off by somebody else at the table. And then when you sense that somebody isn't listening, only waiting to talk, I think you have to address that. Generally, that's something maybe you address after a meeting.
Right.
But if there are people who don't have good meeting etiquette, they don't know it. They just don't know. Yeah. Now, I don't think anybody brings in their bad habits on purpose. So, you know, some of that, I think that's a part of it. And then one more thing, and I've been so guilty of violating this in the past. When you know as a leader that a sensitive subject's going to come up in a meeting, either it's on the agenda or you think it might come up as it relates to something on the agenda, give team members a heads up. Let them know ahead of time, hey, you know, today we're going to be talking about this. I know this is a big deal to you. Mm-hmm. I know there's been some conflict or some questions. I just want you to know what's going to come up, and here's what I'm going to say, and I want you to, you know, speak to this. So just give team members a heads up. That keeps it from getting personal, and it keeps people generally from getting their feelings hurt.
Andy, one of the things I've seen you do through the years is, as someone is sharing an opinion or an idea, you'll ask questions. You'll come back and push in on what they're saying.
Yeah, and there's two reasons I do that. Number one, it keeps the conversation from moving too quickly because, you know, somebody can have a great idea, but if they're not the strongest personality, you know, the next person starts talking and it gets lost. Mm. So one of the ways that you create space or create conversation around new data points or new input is the leader just begins to ask that individual questions, and it makes everybody else around the table shut up and listen. In other words, I'm saying, hey, now I want to make sure I understand this. And the other thing it does is it affirms that person. It says, hey, this is so important. Before we move on, are you saying, is what you're saying now, how do you think that would work? It creates space. It slows the conversation down. And again, I want to make sure I've actually heard what they're saying, not what I think they're saying.
Andy, I can just hear what some of our podcast listeners are thinking right now, which is, what would I talk about every week?
I'm really glad you brought that up. Here's kind of the bottom line. Teams that only meet when they need to meet will never really function as a team. They won't. They may function as a work group. They may be problem-solving task force, but they're not gonna work as a team. And here's why. It's the regular meeting that creates the culture that makes the problem solving easier when there's a problem to solve. If you only meet to solve problems, you are not going to have the culture necessary to have unfiltered debate, because unfiltered debate assumes a level of personal health, but it also assumes a level of relational health with the other people in the room. And if the only time you meet is when you need to meet, there just isn't the flexibility. There isn't the space to create the culture that, again, allows for unfiltered debate, that gets all the information on the table, that allows us to make great decisions. So this is why regularly scheduled meetings, regardless of whether they're justified by the demands of a decision, is irrelevant. They need to be scheduled, they need to be kept, and you need to meet. They may be shorter, but this is why we have the flexibility oftentimes to read together, to discuss things together. And I know that every single person listening, regardless of your industry, there are things happening in your industry or in your company or in your part of the world or in the economy in general that may not be organizationally specific, but they're interesting and they're important. And you've read an article, you heard something on the news, there's something you could make copies of that you send out and you say, hey, I want you to read this before we get there because we've got some flexibility today. So it's not a matter so much of planning a talk or a speech or, you know, a PowerPoint presentation as much as it is, we're going to meet. Today we don't have a full agenda. So here's some flexibility, and it's that upfront discussion time that gets people comfortable talking with each other instead of talking over and at each other that I think is so important in terms of creating the culture of the team so that, again, when you get to those days that are, you know, it's just wall-to-wall decision-making, we've got to you know, look at analyze things and, you know, kind of get lost in the weeds a little bit. That just goes better if the culture of the team is healthy. And the only way to create a healthy culture in terms of a team is to meet on a regular basis. So they go hand in hand. But again, for the person that's just, you know, a little bit type A, bottom line, hey, there's nothing to talk about. Do we really need to meet? Yes, you need to meet. It may be the best meeting you've had in a long time, and it may produce an idea that there's not room for, you know, in your regularly scheduled meetings that are only scheduled when there's, you know, something to talk about.
Andy, I think to the casual listener, they may think we just sit around and talk about ideas, but there's a lot that happens between these meetings.
Yeah. In fact, one of the most important things, and a lot of people have written about this, is what happens at the end of a meeting really sets up to some extent the success of the next meeting. And that is, do people know what to do with what you've just done? And there are times when it's something we're going to read. It's times, hey, next week when we come back, you know, Bill's going to come back with, you know, Chef is going to come back with. Now, next week when we meet, we're all going to get together and I want you to have three ideas around this. So, you know, there's an assignment. There's generally always an assignment. It can be 30,000 foot, you know, basically we're trying to address the culture of the organization, or it can be something as specific as a timeline related to something. Hey, you know, Jill Jill's going to go get some more information. She's going to send you a timeline this week. I want you to look at it. And next week, show up prepared to look at it. So anytime you can set the expectations for what's going to happen next, again, it feels fluid. It feels progress. Hey, when I get that email, I'm going to look at it because next week we're going to talk about it. For us, oftentimes it's, hey, next week when you come back, read the second half of the chapter, you know, chapter four and whatever book we're at, and come back and be prepared to answer these three questions. And when I'm on my game as a leader, I come in prepared to help people anticipate what we're going to do the next week. And then, again, the reason I have my personal assistant in our meetings is she helps me follow up during the week to make sure, again, there's expectations. I'm not going to send out an agenda. I never send out an agenda because that agenda changes right up to the time I walk into our Tuesday morning meeting specifically. But in terms of what I'm expecting from the team, they need to know that ahead of time. But again, when you know what we're going to talk about – and it's relevant to what you're actually doing, that's something you look forward to, especially if, you know, we're taking into account the ideas that, you know, you came up with in our previous meeting. So setting expectations for what's coming up, specific assignments and deadlines is a huge part of creating an actual dynamic in a meeting as opposed to just sitting and listening and, you know, gathering information.
Well, Andy, as we wrap up today's podcast, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'd just like to go back to what I said at the beginning, which is if you're the leader, whether it's division, department, you know, in your industry, your company, whatever it is, your primary meeting needs to be your meeting. It needs to be designed with you and your goals in mind. That way, you will look forward to it. You'll bring your best game. You'll bring your energy. And if you bring your best game and you bring your energy to the meeting, it will be a better meeting for everyone else, which means you may have to transition from what you inherited. You may have to abandon what's been done in the past. You may need to meet in a different place. And then along with that, if there's any way for you to make sure you have the right people in the room, it will make for a better meeting. So for us, that's why I went to this two-tier system of a leadership team and a management team that works for me. I get to sit in the room with the people that I think are critical to our weekend success. So whatever that looks like for you, create a meeting that's your meeting, that serves your purposes, and then model for the rest of your team what a great meeting should look like. And if you do that, you will actually look forward to your meetings. The people that report to you will look forward to your meetings, and they will create meetings that the people that report to them look forward to as well, and it will impact the entire culture, hopefully, of your organization.
Well, Andy, thanks so much for taking this time with us today, and thank you to our audience for listening. To hear more from Andy on leadership, visit andystanley.com.